Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 15 says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord," or reverence the Lord, "and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods," little g, "which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you, serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve." We're all going to serve something. Whether the gods, little g, which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. "But as for me and mi casa, we will serve the Lord." Contemporary English version, or the CEV, which I quote from quite often, says, "But if you don't want to worship the Lord, then choose right now. Will you worship the same idols your ancestors did? Or since you're living on land that once belonged to the Amorites, maybe you'll worship their gods. I won't. My family and I are going to worship and obey the Lord." I want to preach to you on this thought this morning. My mind is made up. My mind is made up. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. To serve would be to be in the service of. It would be to work, to labor, to render obedience, to answer the requirements. To serve means to be a worshiper. When you begin to break that word down, you see where it says to be a worshiper. What a testimony. What a legacy leading up to our scripture text. The book of Joshua is 24 chapters long, and so much legacy and so much of testimony of God's faithfulness. And the understanding that regardless of who we are and regardless of what we do, God is faithful. Is anybody thankful this morning that we serve a faithful God? 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 13 says, "If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself." Notice that. But I believe and I know that God is faithful this morning. And He is not just faithful, but the psalmist declares in Psalm 86 and 15 tells us, "But Thou, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy." Where's my amen corner at? "And in truth." Come on, somebody. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Our scripture text this morning brings to us the last chapter of Joshua. In fact, it's one of those moments. It's what we would declare a defining moment. You know what I'm talking about. Those moments that really changed everything. Regardless of who you were with or what you had in regards to resources, the moment that experience, the decision that you made sealed everything forever. You know, like when she said, "I like tacos too, and I am a survivor of the chancla también." You knew she was the one for you. You're like, "Oh yeah, I'm bringing her to meet everybody." This was one of those defining moments. This is one of those moments that, in fact, we know and we hear. And if you have a family of your own and you're doing what you can to serve the Lord and raise your family on godly absolutes and principles, you've probably quoted Joshua 24 and 15, but do we really have a personal conviction about Joshua 24 and 15? Is it something that we quote, but do we live by it? This is a special time in the history of this generation. Joshua, the leader, called everyone together. In fact, you got to understand this. Me personally, this is just Pastor Panero. Outside of Jesus Christ, I really have a tremendous appreciation for somebody like Nehemiah. Just the things that he did. But I have a greater awe of Moses. Just if you look at the totality of what Moses did and how he did it and how long he did it, what a man. But that does not undermine Joshua. You gotta think, this is who God and Moses chose to follow after him. So if we think that Moses is up here, you got to think where Moses saw and what God saw in Joshua in order for him to be the successor. After all that we know in the scripture of Joshua's generation failed to do, that Joshua was a man that even though the scripture doesn't say was a man after God's own heart, but he was definitely a unique man of God. And so he's up in years. He's in the latter part of what we would say his ministry and leadership. And he summons everybody together and he tells them, I got something to tell you. I got something that I need to tell you. And in fact, the scripture tells us in Joshua chapter 24 and 25 that he made a covenant with the people that day. Think about what some of these folks had been through. Just think about that. They had heard the stories of the tough times in Egypt, the pain and the bitterness and the persecution and then the plagues in Egypt. This was those people. They either heard or they witnessed themselves the crossing over of the Red Sea. Think about that. They experienced 40 years of wandering and wondering in the wilderness, attending funeral after funeral. This was that generation. Perhaps even hearing the folks of the prior generation talk about the regrets that they had. Oh, we should have had. I shouldn't have listened to. I shouldn't have followed. We shouldn't have had grasshopper syndrome. They maybe have heard about the regrets of listening to disobedience. Maybe they heard and they thrived off the miracles of God's hand. Imagine the generation that Joshua got to lead. Wow. What a remarkable set of people. Talented. Sustained by God. Brought out of Egypt. Or born in the wilderness. Think about that. Imagine being born in the wilderness. A generation undoubtedly that had the favor of God upon them. And they got to enter into the promised land. We reread in Joshua chapter 4 where they crossed over the Jordan River. I mean, just think about that. This was the generation that saw the preparation and the battle plan of Jericho. They were the ones that walked around the walls of Jericho. And Joshua had summoned these people together. And notice in the scripture in Joshua 24 and 1, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before the Lord. These folks saw God's provision in Jericho. This was the generation that saw firsthand the enemies driven in the land that God promised to them. They actually saw it and they actually dwelt in that land. This was the generation that received their inheritance. This was the generation that saw firsthand God deal with sin when there was sin in the camp. In Joshua chapter 7, they saw a man named Achan covet something and disobey God, and then he stole from God what was supposed to be for the Lord. Let me just linger here for a moment. Achan not only lost what he had stolen, but he lost everything else. And today, he is remembered because of his sin. Just let that sink in for a moment. This was the generation that saw people in the church become greedy or disobedient. And they thought they knew better than the man of God or God himself. These very precious people were the very people that Joshua was renewing a covenant with in our scripture text. And Joshua didn't hold back. Joshua was standing in and on the land that was God promised them, the promised land. He had firsthand reaped the tangible blessings of God. He was reminding them of the goodness of the Lord. He's telling them, don't you forget how you got here and who's keeping this all together. Joshua 24 and 13, the scripture says, and I have given you a land for which you did not labor and cities in which you built not, and you dwell in them. He's not telling that it's something that's about to happen. He's telling them, you're living in this promised land. You're living in what I told you was going to happen, and of the vineyards and the olive yards which ye planted, but you do eat from them. You're eating from trees and you're drinking from wells of water and houses that were prepared for you. Don't you forget what you got and who gave it to you and who was allowing you to keep it. He was not telling the saints something that he was not living himself. He was not telling them something that he heard or read about. This was the real deal, baby. He lived it. He saw it. He was living it with them. He was reiterating how good God is, how good God was, and who the people of God were and who they need to be. And I come to Revival Tabernacle this morning to remind you who you are and who you belong to. And what we got is not ours, but it is a gift of God. And He gives and He takes it away. But can I tell you, I've already made up my mind. I'm going to serve God with all that I've got. I'm going to lead you to heaven with all that I've got. You hold on to that rope. I'll pull you. I'll drag you. This is called a pulpit. That means I'm pulling you from the pit at times. But you know what, baby? You got to kick some things out. You got to eliminate some things in your life. You got to tell some things bye. Bye, Felicia. Adios. I got to go. I got to get out of here because I'm on my way to a place called heaven. Somebody give God a praise. Hallelujah. We've got so much to thank God for.
Yes, sir.
Regardless of how hard you work or how hard you think you work.
Come on now.
We've come so far from where we used to be before God saved us. So far. We used to be, like Paul says to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, there we go. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor the abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But I like this part. It says, and such were some of you.
Yeah.
That's who you used to be.
Exactly.
Somebody say, that's who I used to be.
Yeah.
But ye are sanctified, and you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. Come on, somebody. That is who some of us used to be. But God delivered us. But God saved us. But God forgave us. Not just one time and not just 100 times, but great is His mercy. They are renewed every morning. As often as you fall down and you get up and repent and ask God to forgive you when you move forward, He will forgive you. But God, who is rich in mercy, He redeemed us. And it's the same God that heals us and the same God that loves us. And therefore, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. So I declare this morning, my mind is made up. Is your mind made up that you're going to serve the Lord when it gets back to normal, whatever you think normal was, and you get your hours back and the money starts rolling in and the restaurants open up? Are you still going to serve God like you did during the shelter in place? Can I tell you, my mind is made up. I'm not going backwards. I'm not going to have church like we had before. I'm not going to live for God the way we lived before. I'm not going to preach and pastor the way I did before. Can I tell you, God is coming. Jesus is coming. And He's looking for a people that are going to be ready. And my mind is made up that I'm going to walk on streets of gold. I want to get to heaven. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. Joshua reiterated to the people what they had, how they got it, who they were, and He made a covenant with them. But He said, as for me and my house, He declared it first for Himself. Now, I would assume Joshua's children were older by that time, because Joshua, this is the last chapter. Joshua was an old man. And He made this, renewed this covenant with him. So He made a declaration for Himself. And then He included His family. Pretty honorable. He was drawing the line in the sand. He said, my mind is made up.
Yeah.
So, but you decide for you. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Some of you need to quit playing with your relationship with God.
Amen.
God is a jealous God. He's a consuming fire. But He loves you.
Yes.
He loves me. You know that. Let's be honest. There are folks that we don't like. Let's just be real. Your personality and their personality, conflict. Your spirit and their spirit, because it's not always their spirit. Sometimes it's your spirit. Conflict. Right? Their mouth and your mouth. Conflict. Their facial expressions and your facial expressions. Conflict. Right? Their lifestyle and your lifestyle. Conflict. Their perception, their expertise and your expertise. Conflict. But can I tell you, ain't none of that, I know that's not grammarly correct, but ain't none of that worth losing your soul or your relationship over. Agree to disagree. Either you move, follow, or get out of the way. But baby, don't miss heaven for anybody or anything. But have a made up mind. Say, my mind's made up. They didn't say I'm sorry. They did me wrong in high school. I'm not going to friend them on Facebook. Guess what? I don't have to like them, but I better love them. And there better be a love that is real and genuine. Because if you love something, you're kind to it and you're loving and you don't keep any score and you don't try to hurt them and get back at them, but you love them. Read 1 Corinthians 13, the whole chapter of what it says. That's what love is. And so you may not like their personality, but you understand something, saints of God. God loves them. So you better find what it is in them that God loves, because there's something about them that God loves and He needs them for, and they're essential for, just like you are. And you make up your mind and say, I'm not going to be a stumbling block to my brother or my neighbor or my spouse or my kids or ministry. I got my mind made up. As for me and my house, we're gonna serve.
Yeah.
the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
My mind's made up.
Yeah.
My mind
yeah.
is made up. Amen. We know what some of the things that God hates.
Yeah.
And this means that your mind's got to be made up that if God hates it, you got to hate it too.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Let's just be real. In Proverbs, what is it? Proverbs 6:16 talks about things that he hates. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running into mischief. Troublemakers is what it's talking about. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Make up your mind and say, I'm not going to be any of those things. What are you going to do? Love everybody? Well, that's a great start. I'm going to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
And in serving, that means I serve the Lord. It means I worship Him. I don't do what I do for accolades. I do it what I do for the glory
Amen.
And the honor of the Lord.
Amen.
My mind is made up. That's what Joshua was saying. My mind is made up.
Uh-huh.
Serving means I serve. It means it's going to take work. It's going to take respect
uh-huh.
for people. It's going to take faithfulness. It's going to take lots and lots of love. It's going to take lots and lots of prayer. It's going to take lots and lots of forgiveness.
Yep.
Well, I didn't get too many amens with that. But my mind is made up. As for me and my house,
yeah.
we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
And I declare that my house will be a safe house. A place free and clear from the wickedness and the evil of this world. A place free and clear from worldly devices and the filth of sin. David declared in Psalm 101 and 3, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Job said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. We serve a holy God, and he declares that we are a holy people. Notice what the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 3:12. It says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love for yourself. Right? That's what it says. Yeah. That's what it says. One toward another. That's what it says. And toward all men, even as we do towards you. That means you got to love your brother more than you love yourself. To the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in the holiness before God. Therefore, my mind is made up that I'm going to live and behave myself in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable unto God. You do what you want to do. You make your own decisions. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Joshua declared it for himself and his home. It's time for some of us to start declaring some things in the Holy Ghost and start declaring some things for your family, declaring the blessings and the favor of God all over again, instead of, well, this is the way it is, and this is the way it's ever gonna be. The devil is a lie. You're blessed and highly favored. And don't forget, you're a child of the Most High God. I got an appeal to all the prodigals out there. You know too much. You've seen too much, especially if you've been a part of Revival Tabernacle at any time. No matter who you were under, what leadership you were under, you've heard some of the best preaching and teaching. You've seen so many miracles that you can write a book. You've been in more Holy Ghost filled services that you can even remember. You know too much. It's time for some of you to make a fresh covenant and say, you know what? If this pandemic has taught me anything, it's taught me to appreciate the Word of God and God's people and that God is real. And guess what? I'm coming home. I'm coming back. You haven't seen me yet, but I see you and I'm coming back. Somebody say, I'm going to get the increase. My mind is made up. Romans 8:37 tells me, And all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, my mind is made up. I'm going to serve God.
Yeah.
I'm going to serve the Lord. We got to give God our very best. We got to give God our very best. We got to serve Him in sincerity. We got to have a true relationship with the Lord. We got to have a real encounter with the Lord. We got to have a daily. Let me get right here. I'm coming. I'm coming to get you. We got to have a daily prayer life with the Lord.
Amen.
We were here at the church the other night, Thursday night, after prayer. And church was empty. Just a few of us here. And I begin to say, Brother Bonham, you were here with me. Someday, folks are going to walk into this church. They're going to come into an empty auditorium. And you're going to see my microphone set on the ground. You may even see Brother Bonham's watch. Brother Derozic's iPad. Brother Jose Torres's tambourine. And you're going to start calling. Say, I thought it was Sunday. Where's everybody at? Oh, I was too busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was too busy. I was too offended. I overslept. I took it for granted. I thought I had time. I wanted to wait till my hair grew back. I wanted to wait till I could lose some weight, wear my suit again. I've been living a life of quarantine for a long time. But the trumpet of the Lord's going to sound. He's not going to wait for anybody. He's not going to wait. That's for me. I'm going to serve the Lord. Some of you need to get away from some still people. I've said it before. They're still complaining. They're still broke. They're still critical. They're still offended. They think they're experts because they watch something and they read everything. They got phobias about everything. They're still people, still lukewarm and still backslid and still living and carousing like the world's going to last forever. Can I tell you, Jesus is coming back. Will you be ready? But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. As we stand this morning, musicians prepare to sing and to play, and the praise team is in order if they would quickly hurry. Jesus is coming back. Pastor, you're freaking me out. It's because I love you. I try to pastor with mercy, and I try to be long-suffering, and I try to be as hard as some of the pastors that God has blessed me to have. But can I tell you, Jesus is coming back, and are we going to be ready? Are you going to be ready? Where are you at? You say, well, the church is locked up. No, you're the church. You got a place to pray. He's just as close as the mention of His name. Will you find an altar? Will you make an altar right where you are? Time to start cleaning out some things, deleting some things, canceling some subscriptions, and throwing some things out, and donating it or just throwing it away, friends. Don't miss hell, and don't miss heaven. don't miss heaven and don't split hell wide open, because Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for a people whose mind is made up. Said, Pastor, I can't live for God the way you live for God. I'm not asking you to live for God the way I do. You live for God with a true relationship with biblical principles. Everybody is on a journey and on a walk with God, but as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Every hand raised, come on, all around the houses, all around the garage and the neighborhoods and the sanctuary, come on somebody. Come on, talk to the Lord, talk to the Lord. Let's take a moment, let's just take a moment. Let's have a holy moment, let's have a holy moment. Let's have a holy moment before the Lord. He's coming. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. Luke chapter 18 and 8 says, notice this. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Or is he going to find fear and worry and deceitfulness and busyness and offense? Or is he going to find faith? When he comes back, what's he going to find us doing? Psalmist 115 and 12. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. Psalm 115 and 14. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Notice this. You're blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I'm going to close with this. This wasn't in my notes, but I feel just to share this with you. Almost 2 years ago, exactly 2 years ago, we started. Dr. Walker's kind of helped lead this way. First, it started for me because I know I need to be a better steward of my health and wellness. And so he's helped me, and he's been helping me, so I can pastor as long as Bishop Keith's pastored, the Lord allows, wants me to. But then it just kind of developed into a ministry that they have outside the church. But you cannot never just have something outside the church and not affect who you are as an individual in the church. And so we had the implementation of hand sanitizing stands and stations, and he makes a wonderful presentation once a year around right before flu season. Do you understand? This is just amazing how God is. That in October, Brother Hernandez ministered right here. I would say 50% of the church had already left, and he stood here for about 15 minutes, didn't say anything. God was ministering to him, and then he began to prophesy. I would say 50% of the church was gone. It was on a Sunday night. He ministered and said some things in prophecy. Those things are happening right now. Then, it was just a couple weeks after that, Dr. Walker and Sister Walker, they put together some health and wellness bags. We had gave out over 200 of the little individual sanitizing containers. All gone. That's what they were intended for. But on top of that, I want to say there was 100 health and wellness bags. And for the first time in those bags, there were masks. For the first time. I didn't ask them to do that. But Brother Tony has one. He reminded me. And this is Pastor Panero. I would not have authorized the expense for those masks. But I trust them to do what they felt they needed to do. And I'm thankful for that they did that. This was back in November. The Lord was looking out for Revival Tabernacle. We had a mask and hand sanitizer, whether we realized it or not, or we took it for granted. And so many were sick. We had some in the hospital. Elder Bonham was one of those in the hospital. several in our congregation that were very sick. One thing led to another. It was Sunday night, March 8th. I stood right here in this pulpit and the Holy Ghost moved on me. And I felt quickening of the Lord. I've never done this. But I recruited some men of God, some men to anoint with oil. And the church responded, and those men responded in faith and under my anointing and leadership. And everybody that was here was anointed with oil, if you remember that. Brother Marquez, you were a part of that. Brother Para, Dr. Walker, Elder Johnson, Elder Oosley, Brother Durazic, Brother Bonham, they were right here. We anointed everybody. And then that week it blew up. I mean, Dr. Walker and I, we drove and some of the men went to men's conference, and between leaving Merced and coming back to Santa Maria, it was like from 0 to 100 to 100 to 1,000. It was just like whirlwind. Getting here on the 15th of March, Brother Steve McDaniel preached the last message we heard as a church body when we were all gathered together. Don't let the fire die. It was the last time we were gathered together as a church body collectively at 105 South Broadway. And he preaches, don't let the fire die. We've been having online church. We've averaged one baptism a week, if you begin to break it down. More Bible studies than we could even... I'm sure we could get a count, but there's just so many. And 2 and 3 people at a time in each Bible study. Jesus is coming back. Nobody in our local assembly has been sick with the COVID, but yet there's people that are essential employees, and I don't do that disrespectfully, you understand what I mean when I do that, that they're working on the front line, fully exposed, but God's protecting them. Can I tell you, your mind's got to be made up. I'm going to serve the Lord. Would you lift your hands right now? I need thee. Somebody say,
I need thee. Oh, I need thee.
Come on. Wherever you are, your hands should be lifted, or you should be kneeling down. Your heart should be open, talking to the Lord.
Bless me now.
My Savior.
My Savior. I come.
Let's sing that again. Let's do that one more time. Come on, would you lift your hands and would you sing it? You don't need more money. You don't need more hours. You don't need a new husband. You don't need a new church. You don't need a new ministry. You don't need new perspective. You need Him and more of Him. My Savior.
I come.
This is how I fight. Hope this is how I fight my battle. Hope this is how I fight my battle. Come on, church, declare it now. This is how I fight my battle. It may look like.
It may look.